Mouse said, again in what sounded like perfectly clear English, "Funny. Now restore them." Leah turned to look at the big dog and said, "Do you dare to give me commands, hound?" "Not your hound," Mouse said. I didn't know how he was doing it. His mouth wasn't moving or anything. "Restore them before I rip your ass off. Literally, rip it off." The Lenanshi tilted her head back and let out a low laugh. "You are far from your sources of power here, my dear demon." "I live with a wizard. I cheat." He took a step toward her, and his lips peeled up from his fangs in unmistakable hostility. "You want to restore them? Or do I kill you and get them back that way?" Leah narrowed her eyes, then she said, "You're bluffing." One of the big dog's huge clawed paws dug at the ground, as if bracing him for a leap, and its growl seemed to... I looked down and checked. It didn't seem to shake the ground. The ground was actually shaking for several feet in every direction of the dog. Motes of blue light began to fall from his jaws, thickly enough that it looked quite a bit like he was foaming at the mouth. "Try me." The Lenanshi shook her head slowly. Then she said, "How did Dresden ever win you?" "He didn't," Mouse said. "I won him." Leah arched an eyebrow, as if baffled. Then she shrugged and said, "We have a quest to complete. This bickering does not profit us." She turned to us, passed a hand through the air in our general direction, and murmured, "Anytime you want it back, dears, just ask. You'd all make gorgeous hounds." Again, agony overwhelmed me, though I felt too weak to scream about it. It took a subjective eternity to pass, but when it did, I was myself again, lying on my side, sweating and panting heavily. Mouse came over and nuzzled my face, his tail wagging happily. He walked around me, sniffing, and began to nudge me to rise. I got up slowly and actually braced my hand on his broad, shaggy back at one point. I felt an acute need to be gripping a good, solid wizard's staff again, just to hold me up. I don't think I'd ever appreciated how much of a psychological advantage, that is, security blanket, it was, either. But I wouldn't have one until I'd taken a month or so to make one. Mine had been in the Blue Beetle, and died with it, too. I was on my feet before anyone else. I eyed the dog and said, "You can talk. How come I never hear you talk?"
"Because you don't know how to listen," my godmother said simply.
Mouse wagged his tail and leaned against me happily, looking up at me. I rested my hand on his head for a moment and rubbed his ears. Screw it. The important things don't need to be said. Everyone was getting back up again. The canteens made a round, and I let everyone recover for 5 minutes or so. There was no point in charging ahead before people could get their breath back and hold a weapon in a steady hand. I did say something quietly to Susan, though. She nodded, frowned, and vanished. She was back a few minutes later and reported what she'd found into my ear. "All right, people," I said then, still quietly. "Gather in." I swept a section of the jungle floor clean and drew with my fingertip in the dirt. Martin lit the crude illustration with a red flashlight, one that wouldn't ruin our night vision and had less chance of being glimpsed by a nearby foe. "There are guards stationed all over the big pyramid. The girl is probably there, in the temple on top. That's where I'm going. Me, Susan, and Leah are going to move up through the gallery, here, and head for the temple." "I'm with Susan," Martin said. "I go where she does." This wasn't the time or place to argue. "Me, Susan, Leah, and Martin will go in that way. I want all eyes facing north when we head for the pyramid, so I want the rest of you to circle that way and come in from that direction. Right here, there's a cattle truck where they're storing their human sacrifices. Get close and spring them. Raise whatever hell you can and run fast. Head west. You'll hit a road. Follow it to a town. Get into the church there. Got it?" There was a round of nods and unhappy expressions. "With any luck, that will draw off enough of them to let us pull a smash and grab on the temple." "Also," I said, very seriously, "what happens in the Yucatan stays in the Yucatan. There will be no jokes about sniffing butts or chasing tails or anything like that. Ever. Agreed? More sober nods, this time with a few smiles. Okay, folks, I said, nodding. Just so you know, friends, I'm in your debt, and it's one I'll never be able to repay. Thank you. Gush later, Murphy said, her tone wry. Rescue now. Spoken like a true lady, I said, and put my hand out. Everyone piled hands. Mouse had to wedge in close to put his paw on the pile. All of us, every single one of us, except maybe my godmother, were visibly, obviously terrified. A circle of shivers and short, fast breaths. Good hunting, people, I said quietly. Go. Everyone had just gotten to their feet when the brush rattled, and a half-naked man came sprinting almost directly into us, his expression desperate, his eyes wide with mindless terror. He smashed into Thomas, rebounded off him, and crashed to the ground. Before anyone could react, there was a muted rustle, and a red court vampire, in its black-skinned, monstrous form, came bounding out of the forest 5 yards away and, upon seeing us, went rigid with startled shock. An instant later, it tried to reverse its course, its claws gouging at the forest floor. I've heard it said that no plan survives first contact with the enemy. It's true. The vampire let out an ear-splitting screech, and all hell broke loose.